Hello, friends. This is Brother James, back with the Missionary Broadcast Ministries. And I'm so very glad to join you again today by means of radio that we could come together and study God's Word together and truly get the blessing. I'm going to be reading here today in the book of Matthew, the 7th chapter. I'm going to start here about the 13th verse in just a moment, but I want to give you a little background about what we're going to be talking about. When people look for directions, they look for a road to travel and a way to go to get where they need to be. And yet here in the Bible, I'm going to be reading about a lesson here where that Jesus Christ told people about a road that they should not travel because it would take them to a place they didn't need to go. Now, we have many different streets here that we talk about in the world. We just about every little town here in the United States has a main street. And a lot of streets that we name by the trees that were there, maybe even at one time, like Elm Street or Oak Street or Maple Street. But here I'm going to be talking about Broadway. I'm going to be talking about the Broadway here in just a few moments, and I'm going to be talking about a way that you should not go, and the end thereof is a bad end, but yet the Bible tells us also there's another way that man can go, another way that we can travel, a path that we can choose to seek out, and at the end of that path is the blessing. Jesus Christ here in this lesson that I'm about to read was speaking to a group of people, and he's giving them instruction on how that they should live their life and the pathway that they should seek out that they might find the good path. So we're going to start here in the book of Matthew, the 7th chapter, the 13th verse. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns? Or figs of thistles. Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast in the fire, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Well, let's go back to the beginning of this. This word straight that he's talking about, enter ye in at the straight gate, that may not be the word that you're thinking of straight. This word is spelled S-T-R-A-I-T, and it means a narrow or difficult place that you have to press through to get in. So he's talking about entering in at a straight gate or a narrow gate, and he goes on to say, for wide is the gate and broad is the way, this is that broad way we've talked about, that leads to destruction, leadeth to destruction, it says. And many there be which go in thereat. Friends, the Bible tells us that hell hath enlarged her mouth without measure to take in the number of people that would enter in there. But I cannot read the Bible anywhere, and I've read it from cover to cover over the years, and I have never found any place that the Bible says heaven had to be enlarged because there were so many people going there. But yet he says there's many people will go into this path that leads to destruction, the broad path, the wide way. And he goes on to say that straight is the gate, that's a narrow, difficult way to get in, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Relatively few, that is, compared to all the people that ever lived or ever will live upon the earth, very few people will know God as their Savior, or that is their Father, and Jesus Christ is their Savior. There are very few people who will find this path, this road to forgiveness of their sins, to be born again into God's family and have a home in heaven. Now, he goes on and talks to people here, tells people about to beware of false prophets. And you may wonder, why did he go off there? And that doesn't seem to connect in, but yet it does if we go back and get the meaning of it here. He's telling people the way that they should go, the way where the blessing is, the good path, the old path wherein is the good way. And if you're to travel that path, the Bible says, you'll find rest and peace for your soul. And he's warning them not to go to the evil way, the broad way where so many people are traveling. And the reason he's brought the false prophet out here is because we've got so many false prophets or false preachers, false ministers. They claim to be sent from God, but yet they teach a false doctrine. They teach the doctrine of mankind instead of the doctrine of God. And they take one verse here in the Bible and another verse and try to cram it together to make it fit and try to tell people that's what the Bible teaches. He's warning people about these false prophets because they're given the false direction. They're giving the bad directions. They're directing people down to go to destruction, this wide path, this broad path that leads to destruction. So this is why he's telling people to beware of the false prophets, because they'll put you on this broad path. They'll direct you to the broad path. They'll direct you away from the straight way that leads to life, this narrow way that leads to the blessing. And he's warning people about this. And he goes on to tell people how that they could tell these false prophets, because by their fruits you'll know them, that they look like sheep on the outside. They're wearing sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. In other words, as you've seen it so many times, these great preachers, as the world refers to great preachers, and when they get into a trouble, or we'll say a little of a pinch there, instead of being like a sheep and bleating like a sheep, they'll howl like a wolf because they've got in trouble, and that's what's inside. It's what we've got, in other words, is the wolf's nature and not the sheep's nature, that is, that comes from God, from true children of God. Now, he goes on to tell people that you can know people by the fruit that they bear. Friends, I've got so many letters over the years from people all around the world, and they tell me, we know that you're a preacher sent from God because you never asked for money. Friends, this way's paid for, I'm telling you. And people to go out after filthy lucre, the Bible says, or that is money, to try to make a living off of people and to tell them what God has sent his son in the world to die free of charge, and the Lord giving his life freely for it, and then turn around and charge people to preach to them. I thank God that my record's clear. I've made a lot of mistakes in my life. Yes, sins. I failed. I've fallen short of the glory of God. That's why I had to have salvation. That's why I couldn't face God without going first to his Savior and Son, Jesus Christ, that is Savior that he sent into the world. But friends, I'm thankful that my record's clear that I've never charged anybody to preach the gospel. I've never charged for a tape. I've never charged to go to preach in revival meeting. And the old preacher that preached the gospel to me, it was just as free with him. He went without charge. There wasn't any money involved. He used to work. He built highways, worked on road equipment, and I worked over the years to pay his way, even as I pay my way, that I might be able to come and bring this gospel free of charge, because it is paid for by Jesus Christ. And people today that tried to do that, friends, you go back in the Bible and see if you can find it. Jesus never sold a book. He never said that, and I know people blaspheme when I say this, but he never charged people to preach the gospel, and he never said, if y'all take up a collection here and get some money here, I'll teach you how to preach. But yet we've got that today, and mankind going to men to learn how to preach men's gospel, of buying it with man's money, and yet it teaches people to lead them down this broad path that leads to destruction. Friends, when it comes down to be a Christian, you've got to believe what Christ preached. And what he preached was repentance. In Matthew 4:17, if you'll go back and read it, you'll find that when he began to preach, at the very beginning he began to preach this now, not something he picked up later, but something he started with and he stayed with, and that is he began to preach repentance. He preached repentance to the people, that when the gospel is preached, that people are warned that we're in danger, that we're on this broad path, and that we are going to destruction. And yet when the gospel is preached, then it warns people that we are to repent of our sins and turn to the Savior and call on him with all our heart, asking for forgiveness of our sins. Friends, there's not going to be any proud people up in heaven. There's not going to be any people that work their way into heaven. The only works the Bible teaches us that will carry us into heaven is the work that Jesus Christ did on the cross. The Bible tells us this salvation is by grace through faith, and it's not of works, lest any man should boast. I can't boast of what I've done that made me a child of God, but I can surely tell the world what the Lord has done for me that made me a child of God. I'm not counting on anything I've done to go to heaven, to get me to heaven. Friends, I'm counting on what the Lord has done, that his work that was done on the cross, and then when I was made a child of God, down on my knees, seeking after the Lord with tears. Friends, people ask me, why do you preach this so hard? Well, in spite of as hard as I can preach it, it still hardly turns anyone from the way that they're going. It hardly ever gets anybody's attention. And friends, it takes it this way. The old preacher preached it so hard to me that it brought tears to my eyes. It brought sorrow to my heart. He preached the gospel of repentance, and that power of God got hold upon me, and it set up conviction. Oh, friends, there's a way that seems right to man, and that is to repeat after me and say a prayer, shake the preacher's hand, and tell people you're a Christian. But the Bible says in the book of Proverbs 16th chapter, about the 25th verse, if you care to read it, that there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And yet I'm telling you, the way that the Lord sent people out here to preach was to preach repentance. And if you go back to John the Baptist, and the Lord put the seal on his preaching and said, I believe what you preach, and you're preaching the truth, because he received water baptism at the hands of John, you'll go back and you'll find that John preached the baptism of repentance. So that is, that you had to repent and be saved as a child of God to even be fit to be baptized. And he turned away some people. And he said that if that you have not sought after the Lord, that you don't have any fruit to show that you've repented. And that's the fruit that we're talking about. And that fruit is a changed heart where that you love people, and yes, even love your enemy. And the Bible makes it plain that if you're a child of God, you're going to love your enemy and pray for them and hope and pray and wish that God would bless their soul, that they might seek God and be saved and be made a new creature and have the same blessing that you have. And friends, when God saves your enemy and they're born again as a child of God, then they'll make a good neighbor for you. They'll make you a good friend. And I've had that. There are people that have been against me in preaching the gospel. And yes, I've received death threats over the years and threats to my family, but you know, God is taking care of me all along the way. And occasionally, every now and then, one of these people, the power of God will get a hold of them so strong that they can't carry that burden any further, and they'll repent of their sins. And friends, then, it's just as bad an enemy as they made when they were lost and headed for hell. A good a friend they become, and that is as good or greater a friend when God saves their soul. When God saves your soul, you love this gospel because it's the power of God unto salvation unto them that believe, and it's what cleansed your soul of the burden, scrubbed every sin and stain away that made your soul light and happy. And just like David said, my heart was fixed. My heart was fixed. As David said, his heart was fixed. I had to rejoice too when God came into my life and came into my heart and my very soul. And friends, I'm telling you, these people out here, they're relentless to preach for money, to fill their pockets, and to shear these people like sheep that they might live off of them. And the book of Matthew makes it plain that these people would come. And the Lord said it so in that day. He said, "Woe unto you, the scribes and the Pharisees, hypocrites." And friends, they may not be called scribes and Pharisees today, but we sure do have hypocrites. And they would compass, or that is circle, land and sea, or sea and land, to make one proselyte, or that is a believer in their way of mankind's teaching. And when he's made, it doesn't say he's a child of God. You go back and read it in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 15. When he's made, he's twofold more the child of hell than themselves, or yourselves is the word they're referring to the Pharisees there. Oh, Paul, he put out some strong language. Remember, this man was on the wrong road, but God brought him down on the road to Damascus, and he repented, and God lifted him up, and he put him on the right road, or that is the straight way that leads to life. And Paul said in Galatians chapter 1, if you'll go back and read it there, about the 8th verse, I believe, is where it starts. He said, "But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed now." And he went ahead and he said it again right there. In the next verse, as we said before, "So I say now again, if any man preach any gospel other than you than that you have received, let him be accursed." Why does he say that? Because he said he knew this was the only thing that would save a lost soul headed for hell. And it would only thing is to get into this path where you got to do a little pressing. Oh, yes, it's difficult. You have to repent. But friends, what is it worth? It's worth everything. Nothing in this world can compare to eternity with God, to be able to escape destruction that was not made for man. If there's anything I could get across to people today, it was that hell was not made for man, but it was made for the devil and his angels, and God has made a way for us to avoid that. We couldn't enter in God's presence having sin. We couldn't carry that sin in and be with God. But yet, the only place else to go would be down to destruction for those that had sinned. Hell was made for those that had sinned, and it was the devil and his angels. But mankind took up with that. But friends, God made a way through his Savior and Son, Jesus Christ, that when we hear this gospel, it's like a seed that brings conviction to our heart. And when we repent, that seed takes a birth. There's a new birth. We're born into God's family. Then we can rejoice and thank God for salvation that is so real, friends, that you can't doubt that you've received it. Friends, it's so real, you don't have to ask anyone because God revealed it to you. Well, our time is out one more time. And my prayer to you is, desire is that you would get off this Broadway if you're on this Broadway of man's teaching. That you would seek the Lord and do a little pressing to go in this straight way, that you'd have a home in heaven. My name is Brother James. Thank you for listening.